Tonight we're going to be looking in John chapter number 14 and John 15, and we're going to be dealing with some foundational truths for prayer warriors. I know John 14 has a lot of things, and John 15 has a lot of different subject titles and so many things that you can go into, but as we're going through the Gospel of John, we're just sort of hitting some high places and picking out a topic and sort of looking at some chapters and just sort of skimming the surface, you might say, of these chapters. Some of them we take a chapter a night, some we take two, and certainly when you take two, you do not have time to get into all the details of the chapters and of the verses. But tonight we're going to highlight prayer and the truths that we have as prayer warriors. Some of the greatest things, one of the greatest things anybody can do for a child of God is to pray for one another. We can do a lot of activities. We can do a lot of things. We can help in a lot of ways. But I believe the most important part, and that which produces more, will be the prayer that we have one for another. There have been a lot of people down through the years that maybe have not been able to do a lot, but they are able to pray. They are not able sometimes in their age and the health gets them to the point that they can't get out and do a lot, and sometimes can't even be in the house of the Lord like they once did, but they can pray as long as they have their facilities about them and their understanding, and they can be there and get close to the Lord and pray for the service of God. And what a blessing it is to know if someone is praying for you. I'm sure, and I've heard many, many missionaries down through the years, they will all tell you that, of course, financial support is very important. That's what keeps them on the field. That's what keeps them going. But money without prayer doesn't accomplish the things that it would accomplish with prayer. And sometimes prayer without money will accomplish what money cannot do. And so tonight we are looking at the subject matter in these two chapters of some truths for prayer warriors. You know, prayer is both a privilege and a responsibility. It is very important that we understand it is a privilege to pray. No one can take that from you. Now, the Supreme Court may tell us it's unconstitutional to pray in school, and they may tell you it's unconstitutional to pray on public properties, but they cannot stop you from praying, because prayer does not have to be a form. It does not have to be a bowing of the knee or a bowing of the head. You don't even have to close your eyes and you can talk to God. And so prayer is that communication that we have with the Lord, and that is a great privilege that God has given unto us. Not only is it a privilege, but it's a responsibility. We are responsible to God. He tells us to pray without ceasing. There are multitudes of verses in our Bible that tell us and give us instructions on this thing of prayer. There's the supplication prayer, there's the prayer warriors, there's prayer of intercession, the prayer asking, prayer receiving, and just simply prayer talking to the Lord. And a lot of ways and a lot of avenues of doing this, and it is our responsibility because God tells us that we are to pray. So let's look in John chapter 14, and just for text verse tonight, let's look at verse number 14 and verse number 15 out of chapter 14, and then we'll look in verse number 7 out of chapter 15. So chapter 14, verse 14 and 15 said, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments." Now look in verse number 7 of John chapter 15. The Bible says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Here's the promise of God that He will answer our prayer. Now, we know that God doesn't answer foolish prayer. God doesn't answer prayer that is all self-centered and and just concerned about what we can get or how much we can get out of the Lord. And it's not a bargaining chip that we have with God and say, "Lord, I'll do certain things if you'll do things for me." That's not prayer that the Lord is telling us here. And God tells us that we are to ask those things in His name, and that He will supply and He will do that. That's the only way that God has given for us to communicate with Him. Now, you can't sit down and write God a letter and send it to Him and He would receive it like we do our friends and relatives. We can't communicate with the Lord in any other way than our prayer life, than that time that we get together alone with the Lord, whether it be in a church situation or whether it be in a family situation or whether it be in our prayer closet as an individual person. God has given us that privilege and responsibility that we are to communicate with Him through this avenue of prayer. Now, there's three important issues, three important things that we need to deal with when we're talking about scriptural, spiritual prayer. First of all, if we pray, we must ask in the name of Jesus. Somebody says, well, why is that so important? Well, just simply because the Bible says that's the way we pray. There are folks in our country, there are going across this land, there are laws and regulations. If you pray in public and pray in the state house, or if you pray in the courthouses, you can pray, but don't use the name of Jesus. Well, if you don't, then your prayer is not a prayer. And he says, if you ask anything in my name, and the scripture tells us that we're to ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to ask not only in the name of the Lord, but we're to be abiding in Christ. We're to be with him. The Bible says in verse number 4 of chapter 15, abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And then in verse number 7 where we read says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Asking in the will of God, asking the things that we need, asking for the things that God can supply for us, and sometimes just talking to the Lord and pouring out our hearts to God and saying, Lord, here's a need, here's a problem, here's a real need that we have. And you don't know from one time to the next when the need is going to arise. And it doesn't always have to be a financial need. It's not always that type of need that we have, but we have spiritual needs, and we can lay them out before the Lord. And as we call upon Him and ask Him and abide in Him and His Word abide in us, and therefore we have the blessings of the Lord that He can answer our prayer. So we need to ask in the name of Jesus. We need to abide in Jesus. And certainly, thirdly, we need to have His Word abiding in us. And so those principles, those things that we deal with in these two chapters concerning truths for prayer warriors. I'd like to be a prayer warrior. And I certainly want people praying for me. And I know others want people praying for them. And not just a slipshod prayer, but something that's real. Something that makes a difference, because somewhere down the line, we're going to want somebody to pray for us. Somewhere down the line, we're going to need somebody else to help us in our prayer life and the needs that come our way. And so let's just look at some things here concerning prayer in these two chapters and sort of broaden it out a little bit and notice where we are. Now, in chapter number 14, verse 1, very familiar verse, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I'm glad there's a peace that comes from the Lord, of knowing that God has heard our prayer. Look in verse number 27 of that same chapter. It says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Don't let it have fear in it. You have heard how that I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. And if you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And he tells us in verse 31, it says, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father hath given me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And so here he says, peace I leave and peace I give unto you. Not like the world. The world doesn't give peace. The world can give you pleasure. The world can give you some things, but God is the only one that can settle your heart and settle your mind and give you peace that's beyond understanding of this world. And Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And he says, therefore, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because God knows what's out there ahead. God knows what's around the corner. God knows what's in the next letter. God knows what's in the next phone call. God knows what's in the next message that we receive. And if we bring it all to the Lord, there's a peace that comes to the child of God that we can call upon Him and know that He will hear us. And it comes through the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace in spite of trouble. Peace in spite of despair and anguish and difficulties and even peace in the midst of sin all around us. And so we have the peace that His peace has to become our peace. And we have to bring that to ourselves so that we can rejoice in Him, because that is what He has promised us and blessed us with, saying, "Peace I leave and peace I give unto you. Let your heart not be troubled, and let it not be afraid." Thank God tonight we can face the circumstances, we can face the difficulties, we can face the problems, we can face the issues. There's a lot of issues. There's a lot of problems. There's a lot of issues that come out. And I'm glad we can face it with the peace of God, because He has given us understanding. So He tells us here, in order for us to live in such a way that's pleasing to Him and have peace in our life, He says, let not your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid. Why? Because His peace is always there for His children. A lot of folks don't have any kind of peace because they're not His children. They're not saved. They're not born again. They may name the name. They may tell you they are, but they really have never had an experience. They've never come into contact with the Lord of mercy. And so therefore they don't have peace. They're always troubled, and they're back and forth and not knowing exactly which way to go. But you and I, as a believer, thank God He gives us a peace. And Paul says that is a peace that passes all understanding. The world cannot understand it because they do not have it. And so therefore we have something that they just cannot comprehend. So as a prayer warrior, as a child of God, He can give us peace because we're saved by faith and by grace. And the peace that comes to us from Him, He's left it for us. It's there at our disposal, so therefore we're to take it. He gives us many, many promises. He gives us things that are worthy to remember and worthy to think about. The Scripture tells us here in verse number 2 through 6, those familiar verses of John chapter 14, here's the promise of "My Father's house." And He says, "Are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I go, you prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said, "Lord, we know not where thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Here's a great verse of Scripture. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." What a great promise that we have of the Savior, that we have rejoicing because of what He's done for us, and the peace that comes. And our verse that we read, the promise of asking Him in the name of the Lord, He said, "I'll perform that for you. I'll give that to you." He gives us a promise of His return. Thank God, "I will come again." He's gone, and we don't see Him, but we have the promise that He's coming. And we do not have to worry about whether or not He's going to come. We just worry about when He's coming. And we wonder about when will it be, and what's the time frame. And the Scripture says, just know that His coming is near. And so He gives us a peace, and He gives us the promises of His return, promises of the Holy Spirit. He tells us in verse number 26, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." There's the promise of the Holy Spirit of God. There's the promise of that Holy Ghost of God, to chapter 15 and verse number 26. It says, "But when the Comforter is come," it's not when if He comes, it's when He comes. "And when the Comforter comes," He says, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me." Verse number 26 is a very important verse in the Scripture concerning the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I go away to prepare a place for you. When I go, I'm going to send a Comforter. And that Comforter is the Holy Spirit." And then He clarifies and identifies Him as the Spirit of truth. And the Spirit of truth does a job and has a work. And He says He's going to testify of me. all these, no wonder the Apostle Paul says, try the spirits, see whether they be of God. There's a lot of spirits out there. There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of messages out there. But if they don't testify of the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Word of God, then you can rest assured they're not of the Holy Spirit. They're not of the Holy Ghost of the Lord. And so the promises of God is that He's going to give to us the Holy Spirit, and that He will answer our prayer. You see, the Holy Spirit will guide us and will direct us how that we are to pray. He'll call things to our minds and to our remembrance. And it seems like sometimes that just out of the clear blue yonder, something comes to our mind that somebody or someone, it might be the Holy Spirit prodding your heart to pray for them, because God knows the need that they have, and we need to feel the burden and the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit that we pray one for another. And so the Scripture tells us that God has given us the promise that He is going to give us peace, and the promises of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit of God, I'm glad He is called the Spirit of Truth. He's the Comforter. When there's a need in our life that nobody else can supply, I'm glad God can do that. When there's a situation that comes up, nobody else may know about it, but there's a despair in our soul, I'm glad God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, can come by and tap us on the shoulder and say, it's okay. It'll be all right. Things will work out. It'll do like it should do. And He is that Comforter. We find that, again, He's called, even in verse number 17 of chapter 14, He is called the Spirit of Truth. Verse 16 says, the Father shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, Jesus said, I'm going to go away. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Jesus, that first Comforter, He's not going to be here all the time. I go to prepare a place for you. And so if I go, the Father's going to send another Comforter. And the Bible says here, He's going to abide with you forever. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's always there. Thank God tonight for the Holy Spirit. And again, He's called in verse 17, the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him. For He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So that Holy Spirit, that Comforter, He's not just out there. Thank God He's in here. And He abides with us. And He's within us. And He is the one that gives us comfort. And He's the one that directs us. And He's the one that guides our feet and our pathway and our thoughts. And He says in verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. And that Comforter is come that we might have the blessings of the Lord. We have a song in our songbook we sing every once in a while. The Comforter has come. I'm glad tonight He has come. I don't have to pray for Him to come. I don't have to look for Him to come. I don't even have to ask Him to come. The Comforter is here. He's here at our disposal. He's here to help us. He's here to guide us. He's here to direct us. He's here to answer our questions. He's here to give us truth. If you have a question about the Word of God, go to a commentary, Brother Earl. We did that. We was talking about some things one night, and I guess it was Monday night. Earl said, I got a question for you. I said, okay. And he asked the question. I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, let's just see what the commentaries have. They didn't know either. I mean, you look in Matthew Henry, well, he skipped it. I mean, it's a pretty important question. It's a hard question. It's a question, well, not, I don't know. The questions are, sometimes we don't know. But you can dig out all kind of books. And I've got a whole lot of pounds. I'd like to sell them by the pound. I might make some money on them if I sold some of them by the pound, because I couldn't sell them for what they're worth. They're not worth much. But you go to a hard place. So I wonder what the commentary says about this. And you go there and you'll read along, say, oh, I got some good stuff. And they just skip over it like it's not there. It's just not. You know why? They don't know either. And they just don't tell you they don't know. They just skip over it and leave you hanging. I wonder what they, I don't know. And on my computer, I had 3 or 4 different commentaries, and not a one of them had anything really to say about that question. But I'm glad the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And where the commentaries leave you high and dry, you get in this book, thank God the Holy Spirit can give you some direction and give you some peace and give you some understanding and give you some, and you know, He's the Spirit of truth. And what this book says is truth. And so that's the promise for the prayer warrior, that He has and gives to us the promises of not only the Lord's return, but that He lives within us and that He will guide us and He'll help us and He'll answer questions and that He will answer our prayers. He will just simply answer the things that we need. Our verse there in chapter 15, verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Here's a man, somebody says, well, that means I can ask anything I want to. I can ask for a new car, God will give it to me. Well, I can ask for $10,000. The Bible says, if I ask it, God will do it. And these prosperity people, they'll tell you that. The only thing God's told him to tell you to send them $100 or $500, and then you'll prosper. Now, we know who prospers when you do that. But the key to this verse, abiding in Him and His Word in me. Now, if we abide in the Lord and His Word abides in us, we'll know it's foolish to ask for things amiss. We'll know those things are not what God's talking about. He's talking about needs that we have in our life. If we ask, God, help us. If there are things that arise, we can go to Him and He'll give us the answer. Sometimes we don't want the answer we get. Sometimes we don't desire that answer, but thank God He has promised if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, if we ask it, He'll tell us something. And He'll answer it for us. So the prayer and the truths for praying is that we have peace and we have promises. And the reason we have that is because there's a position of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a great position. Chapter 14, verse 7. The Bible says, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and henceforth you know Him and have seen Him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said to him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? Really what Jesus is saying to Philip, Philip, I can't believe you haven't got it yet. How come, Philip? You've been with me so long, this long time, and you have to ask me, show us the Father? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me, and I am that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall do, he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Then he says, ask and receive. Here we find the position is that Jesus Christ is revealed in the Father, and the Father reveals the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in the Father. Verse 10, where we read, believest thou not that I am in the Father? Philip, don't you understand that I am the Father? We're one. Do not understand that that we are one and the same. Look at verse number 20. And that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. There's a great communion and a great fellowship here. Jesus is in the Father, the Father's in us, we're in Him, and we have fellowship one with another. And that's the position of our Lord Jesus Christ. He expects us to be obedient. He expects us to understand. The Lord, really, I believe here, was rebuking Philip for his question. Sometimes it's just better not to ask a question. Somebody said the other day about certain, I forget what it was, said, it'd just be better if you didn't ask anything or say anything. Because every time you ask, every time you say, it just reveals how much you don't know. And here Jesus is saying, Philip, you have been with me all this time and you still don't understand that I and my Father are one. I'm glad tonight that we have a Lord. His position is high and lifted up. And one day, every knee shall bow unto Him. And every tongue shall confess. Now, He has His position. We as the servants of God, we have our place also. Notice verse 1 of chapter 15. Here's our place. Jesus, His position, He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He pruneth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. There is His position, and here's our place. We are just part of, we're just in this thing of the branch. He's the vine. Through Him we get strength. Through Him we get sustenance. Through Him we get the physical needs that we have met. And He tells us here in this verse, that verse 3 says, you're clean through the Word. If you want to be abiding in the Lord and have the right place as a servant of God, then get in the Word of God and be clean by the Word. And let the Spirit of God that lives within us teach us and guide us and direct us and show us this is what we need. This is how we need to do it. This is what we need to pray for. We are to be clean through the Word. We're to abide in Him. Verse 12 through 14 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another. We've gone over that, I think, last week even, partly. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command. Here's the place of the servant. We are clean through the Word of God. So if we're not in the Word of God, we're what? Dirty. If we want to get clean, get in the Word. If you want to stay dirty, stay out of the Word. The Word of God cleanses us spiritually. The Word of God will get us in the right spirit and in the right heart and the right frame of mind and attitude right. It'll just work on our pride. It'll work on our self-righteousness. The Word of God puts it all in perspective. And so therefore, Jesus said to His disciples, here's your place. First of all, you've got to get clean through the Word of God. Abide in Him. And then expect great things from the Lord and manifest His love toward others. Ye are my friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And you know what? That's exactly what Jesus did. He laid down His life for His friends. But He also laid down His life for His enemies. He laid down His life that whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so that's the place that we have as the servant of God. That servant that's wanting something from the Lord. That servant that desires to be able to pray and get his prayers met. And to be able to get a hold of God and know that the Lord is there. Not just in form, but I'm talking about knowing that the Lord is there in your very presence. I've heard some people pray. I'd rather hear praise. I had some preachers preach. Because, buddy, when they pray, you know they've done got over in the other land. You know they've touched heaven. You know that they have got this figured out and know what to do in order to have their prayers answered. We're the servant. He's the vine. We're the branch. We're not important. We can't do anything apart from the vine. Cut us off from the vine, we die. He is the substance. He is the way. So therefore, we have to have a servant's heart and to have the attitude of being clean through the Word of God and be in the Lord and love one another. Chapter 15, verse 15, he tells us here, I call you not servants. I just said servants. Now the Lord says, I call you not servants. But notice what he says. For the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends. Boy, what a great relationship we have with the Lord. We are servants of God in that we obey Him, but we're friends of God in that we know Him. A servant, and he gives the illustration here that a servant doesn't know what his Lord does. Now, you're talking about servitude as far as someone that's over another person. And in the New Testament days, there was men that owned others and had servants. And the attitude of the servant was, I don't know what my Lord does. I'm not about to ask Him. It's none of my business. And Jesus said, you're not just a servant, but you're my friend. Boy, thank God He calls us a friend. What a relationship that we have with the Lord. The servant knoweth not what his Lord does, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Everything that God told Jesus Christ, Jesus told His disciples. And everything that we need to know tonight, God has given and revealed it to us in our Bible. Why? Because we're His friends. He hadn't hidden these great things from us. Some of the things that are called mysteries. Those are mysteries to the world, but not mysteries to us. Because God reveals it to us. Now there's some mysterious things and some things that God has taken for Himself and reserved for Himself. And they will not, they'll not be revealed until later. But there are things that He has given to us. Because we are His friends. Notice verse 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit may remain. And whatsoever you ask in the Father's name, or ask the Father in my name, He may give it you. There again, asking the Father. Why? Because we're His friends. And He gives us the opportunity, He gives us the privilege, He gives us the responsibility to go on our face before God and ask Him what we need. And He said, I've revealed it to you. We're friends. Greater love hath no man than this, that man lay down his life for his friends. He says here to His disciples, here's this intimacy that comes from Jesus Christ. He said, by the way, you didn't make the choice. I did. You didn't just decide one day you was going to follow me. The Lord said, I chose you. I called you. Well, I'm glad I've been called by His grace. I'm glad He said, come to me all you labor heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's a call that goes out to the lost and dying world. And Jesus said, I've called you and ordained you. Now you've got a task to do. You've got a job to perform. And that is to bring forth fruit. To bear witness continually. Verse 27 that ye also shall bear witness because ye have been with me from the beginning. Jesus told His disciples, just bear witness. Just tell what the Lord has done for you in your life. Now, all these things are well and good. But there are persecutions that come from the sinners. From the world. Look in chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. So the hatred that comes to us from the world is not just because of us, it's because of Him. There's a lot of people tonight, if you get out in the real world, they just don't like you because you're a Christian. I read on the news tonight that there's a young lady in the University, I believe it's Georgia, that she's just about to be kicked out and denied her diploma in counseling because she is a Christian. And they've said, you're not going to do that. You're not going to believe that and be out of our school. Isn't that something? It's sort of like years ago. Well, you can't. Recant. Just say you don't. There's a man back in the, I think it's the 15 or 1600s. I can't remember his name. Just a young man, 19, 20 years old. He got caught over in England reading the Bible in a church. And they confiscated, or they took him out of the church and convicted him of breaking the law of reading the Bible.
they said, now if you'll just recant and no longer do that and just reject the Lord, we'll let you go. If not, you're guilty and you're going to die.
He said, well, it's never happened in America. Hang on to your hats. Because it's on the way. And this young man was put in prison. His mother came to see him as any mother would and said, oh, son, all you have to do is say you don't believe the Bible. And the words that he gave to her broke her heart. He said, how can I deny the one that has saved my soul? Here's a 19-year-old boy. How can I turn my back on the one that has given me all? How can I say no to him when he's given me everything? And his mother said, as she walked out of the jail, she told them, I'm so proud to have a son that is so brave. The enemies are out there. The rebels, the heathen, the persecutors are there. Look, let me turn back, close my Bible. I want to go back to John and I want to read a verse here. John chapter 15 and verse number 19. If I can get to John. John 15 and verse 19. No, that's not the one I'm looking for. Verse 18 says, if the world hate you, you know they hate me before. Verse 19, if you were of the world would love his own. You see, there's a persecution that comes by choice. But because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. The next word says, remember the word that I said unto you. When problems come, we better remember the word that is given to us. But this cometh to pass, verse 25, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Many times they'll hate us and we'll wonder why. We'll say there's no reason for that. There's no cause for that. But you just rest assured that as we are in this world, they hated him, they hate us. And they don't have to have a cause. Their cause is just to do away with righteousness and holiness and let the world die without God and go to hell. That's really what they want. Why? Because we know who the God of this world is. His name's the devil. He's in control of a lot of things. But I'm sure glad that he's only on a leash as long as God's put him. He's not free to do it all. And God's going to chain him down one day. But until then, let's pray one for another. Persecution arises from many different areas, many different ways. We never know what's around the corner. The one that you've forgotten about may rise up against you. The one that you know and would never think about may be one that's lurking in the shadows to bring about destruction to your testimony, to your life, because they hate you. They hate this book. They hate the author of the book. And they hate the carriers of the book. Now, you know, you can be religious, and that's okay, but just don't be so fanatical. Don't be so weird. Heard last night, a preacher who preached said, just don't be so spooky. The world said, not that spooky. He said, I won't be spooky to the world. May God help us to realize we can pray. When we can't do anything else, we can pray. And when God can do it all, he can answer us in his own time, in his own way. Let's stand together tonight.